This is John Walden. So glad you joined our Bible class. We're in the fifth chapter of Galatians, and now at verse 16. Now, we've just been noticing in preceding verses that serving must be by love. The only way that we can please the Lord is to live a life of unselfish service for others, and this is done only by love. By love serve one another, he said in verse 13. Well, this introduces the Holy Spirit's work, because only the Holy Spirit can produce true love in the life of a believer. The word for love here is the word for divine love, not for human love. Human love is failing and faulty and selfish. But divine love is produced by the Holy Spirit, as we see a little bit later. This I say then, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The word walk here, of course, is the word meaning progress. Make your progress in the Spirit. This leaves no room for the lusts or desires of self. The word lust, as used in this section, has to do with either good or bad desires. It's the word for strong desire. Now he said, if you make your progress by the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, then you will not do any of these things that belong to the flesh or the old nature. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, a Christian has two natures. This is not a split personality. This isn't anything to worry about. A Christian simply has two natures. You have a nature which you inherited from Adam through your parents, the fallen nature. And when you're born again, you have a new nature. You're made partaker of the divine nature, God's nature within you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And these two are contrary one to the other, so that ye will not do the things that you would otherwise. The Spirit is there to resist the evil nature within you. Now, this conflict never takes place in an unsaved person. He only has one nature. He may have a conscience that bothers him. He may have conflict inside because of things that he would like to do and feels that he shouldn't. But he does not have this dual nature, excuse me, that we're talking about here. Now, we who have the Holy Spirit living within us, we are told, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Being led by the Spirit means simply to willingly be led. The word for led here is a word which indicates that it is a choice on our part. We want the Holy Spirit to lead us. This is not forced nor compelled by the law. We're not under the law. We don't need the law when we have this new nature, this new power within us. Now, from verses 19 through 21, he gives us a list, not a complete list, not an exhaustive one, but a sort of sample list of the things which the evil desires produce, the works of the flesh. The desires of the flesh, when they're given their way, will produce these works of the flesh. Now, these listed here can be divided up into, first of all, the sins that have to do with the flesh. We may call them sensuous sins. Then the sins that have to do with religion, religious sins, social sins, and personal sins. First of all, he begins with the sins which are the breaking of the primal laws of God, the laws that were given for the propagation of the race. And when people get away from God, almost invariably, they get into these fleshly sins, these carnal lusts. And so he says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It begins with a simple act, and it ends up with a complete attitude of life. And then idolatry, witchcraft, these things have to do with religion. In fact, these first five that are listed here are most common among those who practice idolatry. Then hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There are many sins of the flesh, many works of the flesh, but they're all like this. They're all selfish, they're all vile, They're all things that lead a person step by step from one thing into another. He mentions, for instance, wrath and strife and seditions and heresies, and then he follows this with murders. And so this is the way life goes. The evil things in our heart gradually produce worse and worse actions in our lives. After he lists these things, he tells them that, as he has told them before, that they which do such things, and the word here is literally practice, those who make a practice of these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. A man proves what he is by what he does. And the habits of our life indicate the kind of people that we are. A person who practices this is a person who does not belong to the kingdom of God. He has no place in the kingdom of God. He proves that he does not have, because this is the kind of life that he lives. In contrast to this, verses 22 and 23 tell us, but the fruit of the Spirit, and not, here he's not talking about work, notice, but fruit. And don't use the plural. These are not nine different fruits. But these actions, these things, are really the fruit or the product of the Spirit of God within the believer. No Christian can take any credit for his godly living. He has to acknowledge, the Holy Spirit within me is producing these things in my life. This is contrary to fallen human nature. But when you receive God's Holy Spirit, and this takes place at conversion, you do not have to pray for this as a second blessing. Every child of God is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Every child of God is baptized by the one Spirit into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 tells us so. Romans 8 and 14 tells us that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you're not even one of His. Now, the Spirit of Christ may not be controlling you. Many a Christian is not fully controlled by the Holy Spirit, but every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And these are the things which the Holy Spirit would like to produce in your life. There are nine of these, and this again is a partial list, because he says, against such, the same word that he used earlier in referring to such like sins. Against such there is no law. This is not a complete list, but these nine things, three sets of three, the first three tell us about our attitude within the heart, and toward God. The second tell us about our attitude toward our fellow men, and the last tell us about what we are in ourselves, our own lives. Now, these three sets of three give us a divine perfection. The number three, as well as the number seven, is often used for perfection in the Bible. Notice that love is at the top of the list. That's what he's been talking about earlier in chapter 5. By love serve one another. Well, this is the way the Holy Spirit produces love in the heart of a believer. We're told in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God is shed abroad or poured into our hearts by His Spirit, which is given unto us. So the Holy Spirit creates love for God, love for His Word, love for His people, love for the souls of the unsaved. This is the result of the Spirit of God within us. And with this comes joy and peace. And then there is long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. This kindness or goodness here is goodness in action. This is the way Christians act toward others when they are led by the Spirit of God. And then faith is really faithfulness and meekness and temperance, which is self-control. So that a Christian learns to control himself, or rather is controlled by the Holy Spirit's presence within him. He says, against such, there is no law. That is, there's no conflict between this and the law. When the Spirit of God produces this within us, there's no need for the law. The law has no place in the life of a believer, because the Spirit of God is leading him to do these things. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. This is not an act or an event in our lives, but this is what took place. When Christ was crucified, we were crucified with Him. And God wants us now to consider ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. That's why he says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The word for walk here means to keep rank, keep in step with the Spirit. How did we get eternal life? Why, in the Spirit, not by the law. The law could never save us. then why turn to the law again to keep us? If we received life in the Spirit, then let's make our progress in the same way. Let's keep rank with the Spirit. The result of this is that we will not be desirous of vainglory. Now, the world only has two real motives. One is vainglory, that's the desire to be somebody, and the other is covetousness, which is the desire to possess more and more things. And these will result in provoking one another and envying one another. The Lord said, now, we don't want this, because the Spirit of God is living within the believer and producing these things within us. Let's not turn to these baser things. Let's not live for what we can get and who we can be, but rather let the Spirit of God produce within us this real Christ-likeness. And that's what we have in the fruit of the Spirit here. This is exactly the way the Lord Jesus was. And this is what God wants to produce in us. We saw that earlier, that Christ may be formed in you. Have you received Christ as your Savior? If you have, do you allow the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit in your life? Father, bless thy word to us. Again, we ask that those who are not saved will see that all is offered in Christ, and help thy dear children to find our all in him as well. In his name, amen.